We continue our meditation on Psalms for Lent and Holy Week. And Psalm 22 is completely full of prophecies and foreshadowing and direct indications how our Savior would even die. You heard him say his hands and feet were pierced. And so it's very full of prophecies, and we're going to look at and consider some of these. Our Lord on the cross quoted it. My God, why have you forsaken me? And so many parts of it come true. To begin, I reread towards the end of the Psalm 22. All the ends of the earth shall remember and turn to the Lord, and all the families of the nations shall worship before you. For kingship belongs to the Lord, and he rules over the nations. May the words of my mouth and the meditations of our hearts be acceptable in your sight, O Lord. You are our rock and our foundation. Amen. In the blue insert, that whole first page you can look on at your own time. But what I indicate there in that first page is how many places in the New Testament Psalm 22 is either directly quoted or alluded to. And much of it is with our Lord's death and what he accomplished with his death. In those first verses, my God, why have you forsaken me? You see this, the psalmist, David, feeling at times, believing at times, seeming it looks like at times that God has abandoned him. And our Lord spoke these from the cross. And he talks as if it's continuously, I'm never seeing you, you've abandoned me. And yet, as he believes he's been abandoned, he says in verses 3 through 5, and yet our fathers trusted in you. And this is important for all of us as Christians and our Lord also. He always was referring back to Moses and Abraham and the things that God had done. God had been faithful to his people throughout all those centuries and millennia. And so also God is faithful to me. And the psalmist says, yes, I feel abandoned, but I know God is faithful. I know he is faithful. But in his suffering, he is suffering horrendous things. When he says in verses 6 and 7, but I am a worm and not a man, scorned by mankind and despised by the people. All who see me mock me. They make mouths at me. They wag their heads. He trusts in the Lord. Let him deliver him. Let him rescue him, for he delights in him. The psalmist writes that his antagonists, that the people who are mocking him and even torturing him, are treating him as if he is not human, that he's below human. They consider me a worm and despise, not a man. And they mock him. And not only they mock him, but they mock his faith in God. This we know happened to our Lord on the cross as well. I read from Matthew 27. So also the chief priests with the scribes and elders mocked him, saying, he saved others, he cannot save himself. He is a king of Israel. Let him come down now from the cross, and we will believe in him. He trusts in God, let him deliver him now, if he desires him. For he said, I am the Son of God. And the robbers who were crucified with him also reviled him in the same way. A direct quote from the Psalm 22. But they were not trying to fulfill it in a godly way. They were mocking the Lord's servant, the greatest servant, Jesus. But Jesus knew also that though they mocked him, he was doing his Father's will. He was never outside his Father's will. It was his Father's will that these things would happen. The psalmist says, yet you took me from the womb. You made me trust you at my mother's breast. On you I was cast from my birth and from my mother's womb. You have been my God. The entire time, Jesus was in his Father's will. From conception to birth to growing up and knowing that he is in his Father's house as a 12-year-old, and later doing his Father's will during his ministry. So though people are mocking him and mocking his faith, mocking his relationship with the Father, yet he knows he is in his Father's will. When we see those verses about his suffering some more in verses 12 and following, we really see some details prophesied about Jesus on the cross. Many bulls encompass me, strong bulls of Bashan surround me. They open wide their mouths at me like a ravening and roaring lion. I'm poured out like water, and all my bones are out of joint. My heart is like wax, it is melted within my breast. My strength is dried up like a potsherd, and my tongue sticks to my jaws. You lay me in the dust of death. Jesus is surrounded by his enemies mocking him. And here we see some descriptions of things that happened to him on the cross. As he's stretched out and is nailed to the cross, you can see his rib cage, you can see his legs, you can see all these bones. He says you can count them. You can see how his innards are suffering from this time on the cross, as the psalmist describes it. You see the time when they cast lots for his garments. In verse 18, they divide my garments among them, and for my clothing they cast lots. David wrote this, and yet there is no doubt this is about the son of David, his great descendant who was our Savior. But Jesus knows he's in his Father's will. He knows that God has taken care of the faithful in the past in the Old Testament, and yet he is suffering, and he is being tortured on the cross. And again, the psalmist says then, after that verse 18 about his garments, verse 19, but you, O Lord, do not be far off. O you, my help, come quickly to my aid. His relationship is still with his Father. And he is in his Father's mouth, in his Father's will. He's saying, save me from the dog and the lion and the wild oxen. Save me from them. Save me from these people. Give me strength. Psalm 22, then, it takes a different track, another track at that point in verses 22 and following. It talks more about the ministry among God's people, my brothers, the great congregation. For King David, he would have recounted the Lord's faithfulness and exhorted the people to praise God. But we know that our Lord Jesus taught in the temple of God. We remember much of the Gospels was during Holy Week in his teaching in the temples, in the temple, giving the Pharisees and Sadducees things to think about. They're going to crucify him soon. But he wants them to know who God is, to praise God. Verse 22, I will tell of your name to my brothers. In the midst of the congregation, I will praise you. You who fear the Lord, praise him. All you offspring of Jacob, glorify him and stand in awe of him, all you offspring of Israel. The psalmist is saying this about himself, his work. He wants to encourage the people of Israel to truly believe in God. But we see how Christ did this perfectly. Whether people listened or they did not, he said, praise God. What is the greatest commandment? He was asked. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, mind, and soul. Love your neighbor as yourself. He was always pointing the Israelites, his people, to worship God. It continues in this psalm about this ministry. verse 25, for you come my praise, for you comes my praise in the great congregation. My vows I will perform before those who fear him. The afflicted shall eat and be satisfied. Those who seek him shall praise the Lord. This is what Jesus was doing, carrying out the will of the Father. He would not be stopped. The Israelite would make vows to God and carry those vows out, but Jesus, his whole life, is to do his Father's will. You might say his whole life was a vow, as a relationship with God to carry out this plan of salvation. And where I take the part of the sermon title, where I say, he was forsaken so that we would be embraced. We have seen the forsaken side of it in these verses. But where do I get that idea of being embraced, that we would be embraced? There, we listen to verses 27 and 28. All the ends of the earth shall remember and turn to the Lord, and all the families of the nations shall worship before you. Do you hear it? It's not only the Israelites, but David, and then Jesus perfectly, wants all the people of the world, God's people, to worship him and know him. And I had never seen it before in verse 28, but think of it in verse 28 where it says, for kingship belongs to the Lord and he rules over the nations. What does that sound like? That the families of the nations would know that the Lord is king. Lord, teach us to pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come. He taught his disciples to pray for God's kingdom to come. This is the ministry of the servant, that he would do and he would bring the prayer to our Heavenly Father, to all people. Verse 29 is, you have to think about it for a bit. All the prosperous of the earth eat and worship, all the rich people, all those who are doing okay. Before him shall bow down all who go down to the dust, so also will bow down the poor people who go down to the dust. And then the third line in that verse, even the one who could not keep himself alive, even if you're dying, you're on your deathbed, worship God. 30 and 31, posterity shall serve him, and it shall be told of the Lord to the coming generation. They shall come and proclaim his righteousness to a people yet unborn, that he has done it. Jesus told his disciples to take his message, to bear witness to all nations on earth. What? That salvation is accomplished. And to the generations on and on and on, to those yet unborn, the future generations, would hear of God's plan of salvation. As we will meditate upon the seven last words, statements from the cross, we remember that Jesus did this to accomplish salvation for all people, and that those who are alive then would bear witness to the future generations. He suffered in so many ways, as is described in Psalm 22, not just for the sake of suffering, but that it may be accomplished, and that it may be done, and that it may be borne witness to all generations. We pray. Dear Father in heaven, we ask you to make known to us all the more what you have accomplished for us in Jesus Christ, your Son, and that his death had a meaning and a goal to save all people, to save us. Bless our meditations upon his words on the cross. Bless our lives to trust in them and trust in all his work. And let us know and be comforted that he has died and suffered because of your great love for us so that we might be saved. In the name of Jesus we pray. Amen. Now may the peace which surpasses all human understanding keep our hearts and our minds with our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. One note just before we begin singing the